I wanted to cover different things that had happened during the week. You know, one of the things that we hear quite a bit are kind of what I call myths of heat pumps. You know, a lot of people have a kind of a bad idea of what a heat pump is and what a heat pump does. And I get asked quite a bit, you know, what would you do if it was your home? I have a heat pump in my house. I love it. But there are myths due to when heat pumps originally came out. A lot of people had drafty, cool air. They had cold air. The house wasn't warm. You know, these are just a lot of things we hear that a heat pump won't do, because when they first started coming around, there was a lot of that that went on. And part of it was because of the design of the units and the Freon that was used back then, or the refrigerant. And now things have come a long, long way. You know, we're getting a lot more heat out of the units than we used to, down to colder temperatures outdoor than we used to. Therefore, we're relying on heat strips a lot less, so they're a lot more efficient. And a heat pump, sort of its sweet spot is in the upper range of what we would consider cold. You know, in the 40s and the 50s, you know, that kind of range is when a heat pump really shines and can really do a great job heating the home for a lot less money than other methods. And that's the kind of cold we typically see here. So it's kind of a good fit for our area. You know, if you get up north where the really, really cold temperatures, heat pumps aren't that popular because they can't extract enough heat from the air. But in our climate, with the new refrigerants and the new efficiencies and the new systems that we have, we're able to produce a lot more heat, therefore keeping a lot warmer air coming out of the vents, making people a lot happier. And another thing I get is the I don't talk about it enough, really, I don't believe, is the variable speed systems that we sell. Those systems with a variable speed compressor outside and a variable speed fan inside can produce really good heat. I mean, it'll feel like a gas furnace. And they do a really good job without the use of hardly any heat strips.
So that's good to know. I wouldn't have realized that here in our climate, that specifically is a good, like a mm-hmm. points in favor of a heat pump.
That's right. Our climate is about perfect for it, really, because we do require some heat, but we don't require a lot of it. And the outdoor temperature is not cold considered. You know, when you look up north, when you're in the single digits and the teens, that's not good heat pump weather. But down here where we're in the upper 30s, 40s, 50s, that's really the sweet spot for a heat pump, and it does a really good job.
That is good to know. Travis, we had a question come in. Mm-hmm. I think this was going back to our previous episode from a couple weeks ago, because we were talking about dirty sock syndrome, and so someone wanted to know.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to resolve the issue. So what is that solution, one more time, for the dirty sock syndrome?
There are several ways to deal with it. One of them is to take the coil out and clean the coil. With a clean coil, there are some biocides that we can spray on the coil, possibly without pulling it out and cleaning it. Those have been effective. Sometimes they're effective longer than others. Every house is different. It can come back. So in most cases, it handles it for about a year. But there are some long-term fixes we found that work really well. And actually, the Remy Halo that we've talked about several times kills mold and bacteria, but it also kills this bacteria that causes the dirty sock. It seems to be very effective as well. So there's a few ways to do it, but it can be dealt with. And you can, you know, the sprays that can do it in place is kind of the cheapest fix for it. And that may fix it for a long term. But if it comes back, you may be dealing with something that you either have to do on a regular basis, or, you know, install something like the Remy Halo that can combat it all the time.
Gotcha. So there it is. That's the answer, because it is that bacteria, and mm-hmm. that's the source of odor that we call the dirty sock
syndrome.
That's
correct.
Got it. So good. So in addition to the point you were making about the heat pump, that, you know, we live in a place where it's not too cold, that mm-hmm. maybe in places where it does, like those temperatures get much lower, that's not really
right.
The best solution. Are there any other kind of common pushback or things you've heard from people about why they wouldn't want a heat pump?
Those are definitely the reasons people push back against a heat pump. They either have felt drafty, cool air, like when it goes into the heat pump mode. And again, a lot of heat pumps now are not even on the old R22 refrigerant. That stuff's just about gone. But we find a lot of 410A heat pumps that are either not charged properly. That is a huge reason you may get cold or drafty air. or not wired properly. And not wired properly is a big concern, because if it's not delaying the fan like it should so that the coil gets nice and warm before the fan kicks on, if it's going into defrost and it's not energizing those heat strips, both of those will cause you some just pure cold air to blow for a pretty good bit. And then people aren't happy with that. You know, if it's blowing on them, they don't want to feel cold if they're already cool. So those are the things we find most on systems that are fully capable of being a better heat pump, but they're not installed properly. So if you do have a system that's, you know, less than 15 years old and you're not getting the proper heat out of it, give us a call, because there's a good chance we can find something that's just not right in the way the system's set up that will greatly increase your comfort for the heating season.
So that is something, like you said, less than 15 years old, y'all can help. It can be fixed. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure everyone knows the best way to get in touch.
Yes, 850-857-4700 is our phone number. That's the best way to get in touch with us. You can also use our website, climatechproair.com. You can schedule service there or get any of our information. Everything we've got is available from financing all the way through our business and where it came from and the whole nine yards.
So good. I love that. I love seeing the stories. I like that that's something that people include on the website, because you know, we've talked about it before, but you kind of grew up in this industry. And so understanding that deep level of expertise, I think, can give people confidence that your team is truly knowledgeable and trained and knows what's going on.
We really try. We do regular meetings that we try to either educate our guys on something that's new, or go over old stuff, go over these problems that we see when we identify stuff in the field. We try to bring our team in. Right now we're doing it via Zoom meetings, but, you know, bring our guys in and have our little talks and chats about what's new, what we're seeing, whether it's something that we train on. Sometimes we have safety meetings about them, but we try to do a lot of training, at least an hour a week. Which it's a lot, but it's what we need to do to try to stay on top of things and figure out where the industry is and how it's changing, because it's always something new.
That is definitely true, isn't it? Like, just that's the one thing we can rely on, is that change.
Absolutely.
So we also have been talking a little bit in our previous episodes about, you know, prepping for colder weather. Are there any tips? Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's definitely noticeably colder after the last couple days.
Well, with a heat pump, I think last week we were actually talking about defrost cycles and how defrost works. You know, and that outdoor coil becomes the evaporator. So the outdoor coil is actually trying to extract heat out of the outside air, and it ices up, because when we get down below freezing, that moisture that's developing on that coil starts to freeze. Therefore, the outdoor coil being clean becomes just as crucial in the winter as it is in the summer. But the problem in the winter is if it's inside that unit is full of leaves and debris in the bottom, which we see quite a bit, that moisture tends to fall to the bottom and refreeze. Even if the defrost is working properly, that water can't get out of the unit.
Oh.
So having that outdoor unit cleaned and you know, inspecting it, see if you've got a bunch of leaves down in the bottom of it, that can actually affect quite a bit on the amount of heat it can produce. You know, likewise in the summertime, you want it clean to extract the heat out of the freon, but that's kind of the opposite of what we're doing in the winter. But either way, it's still a crucial part of what's going on and producing heat and getting that water out of there so we don't build up a lot of thick ice.
So really good reason to make sure you are inspected and cleaned up. And I imagine there's, especially after the storm season we've seen, that leaves are probably just to be expected at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah, we see a lot of it all the time, but the storms are definitely just going to add more to it. So definitely a good time to glad you brought that up, to check that outdoor unit, make sure that it is free of all the trash that gets down inside of it.
And that's just, it's going to make it run more efficiently.
That's just right. Makes
sense. And how about, we also were going to mention, just, I know we only have a couple minutes here, but if people are hearing noise from their gas furnace, is that something that is typical this time of year as we start switching from cool to heat?
Well, it is, and they're probably used to it. I hear a lot of people that, you know, they got to turn their air conditioner or turn their TV up when their heater kicks on, or they turn their TV down back and forth because the gas heaters are very noisy. And gas heaters, in general are a little noisier than heat pumps due to the way they're designed. They don't have to be that noisy. There are things you can do to quieten them down without even replacing them. But then there are also a lot of alternatives with newer gas furnaces that are very quiet. Variable speed with two-stage gas or a multi-stage gas valve where the heat's not coming on. Kind of similar to what we talk about with the variable speed compressors. It's not wide open and off, wide open and off. We can modulate that, which is a lot quieter, more energy efficient, both in electrical and gas, save you some money on the electrical, as well as make your house a little more comfortable because nobody wants to turn their TV up every time the unit kicks on.
It's so true. It's so true. People already fight over the volume anyway. You don't need to be doing it based on the temperature.
And we hear that a lot. I mean, if it's in your, we're kind of an odd because we have them in closets here, which a lot of the country doesn't do that. But the closets are a lot of times right off of a living room or even in the living room. And when that thing kicks on, if it's an older one or if it's not been put in properly or nothing's been done to deaden the noise of it, they can be very loud.
That's, yes, I'll remember having those arguments anyway. So now you're arguing over what the thermostat is set at and the volume of the TV, and right. Now they're working against each other.
That's right.
So if people are, you know, experiencing that with the really, like, volume issues, would you say having it serviced could help, or is that maybe just you looking at a newer system?
That's typically not a service thing, but there's a possibility that there are settings inside that unit that could be done to reduce the noise. It's not something that I would say, oh, I can come over and just tweak this and the noise is gone. But even with the existing systems, we can a lot of times do things to make them a lot more palatable.
So good. And that phone number one more time, Travis.
850-857-4700.